in the WhatsApp group. We were in this behind this accident, and I just got a update from Austin News that two people died in that accident, and one is in serious condition. Fragile nature of life. Well, let's pray to our God who controls all things. Father, we thank you. We thank you for, Lord, here we are breathing, able to look at one another, enjoy one another. We got here safely while others were ushered into eternity. Father, we ask that you would meet with us now as we open your word. Teach us, Father. Show us yourself. Show us Christ. Show us our need for him. May you be glorified. May you be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you all know, we are taking a break from our study on the statement of faith to do something that is a bit different for our church, something that we have not done before. And as a pastor comes to the realization, not that I need to tell you this, but I don't know everything. I don't have every doctrinal I dotted or T crossed that I need to, and I learn. And some of the ways that that happens is by reading, praying, studying. Other come from spending time with other pastors and going to other churches and saying, oh, I like that. And some comes from spending time with you all and listening. And so when it comes to what we're doing today, this is how this came about. And I was approached, thought about it, prayed about it. And so this is something that I see to be a good thing. And so for those who have a child in the future, this doesn't mean that mandatory requirements are upon you to do this. It does mean this is an option if you would like it. You would just let me know. So what is this? We're going to dedicate Emma to the Lord. We see some biblical examples of this to some degree. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, probably one of the most famous would be the example of Hannah. Now, you remember Hannah. She was a faithful sister, dedicated to the Lord. She desired a child and was barren. And she continually prayed. In 1 Samuel 1:10, this was something that she was constantly doing, praying. And in the midst of one of these times of her prayers, it says she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. And we know that prayer was answered, and that was Samuel, the prophet, the great prophet of Israel. In the New Testament, we see the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in accordance with Jewish law, as is written, the first son to open the womb is to be dedicated. In Luke 2:22, we get the account of where this was done, this idea of dedication. Luke 2:22, and when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, you know, Emma's not going to be given to the temple to live in there. And there are no turtle doves that are going to be sacrificed because we are not under the old covenant any longer. But we also see not just these examples of parents dedicating their children in this official capacity, but we see something in the life of Jesus that could be very similar to what we're going to do today. And so if you look at Matthew 19:13, It says, then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and went away. Now, clearly, as you know, I am not Jesus. However, the reality of the church, Jesus asked Paul, Saul of Tarsus, a question. And he said, why are you persecuting who? Me, right? Now, Jesus was not literally being persecuted by Paul, but the people of Christ, the body of Christ was. And so there is a reality that as a representative of Christ, a brother of Christ, a Christian, one who has been saved, there is this reality of bringing a child that we might pray for them. And then lastly, Luke 18, 15 through 16, the similar account. And here, I like how Luke adds this pleasant detail. Luke 18, 15. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. So this is not a baby baptism. This is not some type of child saved through this. What this is exactly what we see here. A parent's heart to bring an infant to the Lord that he might bless them. And so that is what we will do. First, I wanted to talk about parenting. And so I just have a few points. The first point is that a child is a great gift. Psalm 127. Psalm 127, 3 through 5, very famous passage of scripture. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Children are a gift from God to men and women. Children bring laughter. It's a joyous thing. I've been in some pretty sad situations, funerals, things like that, hospital rooms, people dying of cancer. And it's amazing how no matter how sad a situation is, a little child can say something that makes everybody laugh. Children have this ability to bring joy to a family. There's something in us that when a baby is born, parents can just look at this baby sleep for hours and be content. The smallest things bring such pleasure. Children are a blessing. And it really dawned on me, especially last week we were talking about love and the love of God. You know, children don't have any ability to do anything for you. When they're in this very fragile infant stage, they're completely reliant on you for everything. In fact, their entire life is you serving them constantly. And you know, they don't say thank you, and they don't pay you, and they don't help you. They just take from you, and you give to them, and you give to them freely, and you do it with joy and love in your heart. And that's a beautiful example of the image of God on us, because this is how God loves us. You're able to build memories with children, experience things with them. You teach them how to talk. You teach them how to walk. I mean, this is a very unique relationship. There's nothing else like it in the world. You forgive their failures when they mess up. Their errors are corrected with gentleness, and even their disobedience, though chastisement is necessary, it's done with love. And the Bible says this is a reward to have a child. God opens the womb. No matter how strong we are, no matter how much we want it, we can't do this. We see this in the life of Hannah. We don't have the ability. Every child that comes into this world is a gift from God, done by the power of God, the hand of God. Jesus Christ creates every single child that is born. Children are a blessing. Sometimes. Grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Proverbs 30:11, there are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. Proverbs 10:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. And a newborn child is in this trainable, shapeable position where you can lead them towards the place of being a blessing, or they can become a grief and a sorrow. Children are a gift. Second point is parenting a child is a great weight. Matthew 25, Jesus talked about the parable of the talents. And he says, now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, a careful study of the parable of the talents knows this is not talking about money or some ability you have to sing or something like that. This is talking about what God has entrusted you with, and children would absolutely fall under the category of talents. Every parent here has been entrusted with the souls of your children. Now, what will be said on the day of judgment for how you handled that great weight? When it's all been said and done, what will be said? What will be said was the focus of your parenting. What will be said was the focus. What was most important? What was put before them? What was the final result of all of it? Will it be, I sought to put Christ before my child? This is a great weight, a great burden, a great responsibility. Will it be, I sought to show the glory of God as the most essential thing to this precious child that was given to me? Or will it be this world? Will it be the wealth, stuff, status? What will your own child say of you when it's all said and done? Will they be the smartest in their class, the most wealthiest on the block, the nicest house, the most personable, the most respectful, the most patriotic? But they will be lost. They will perish on the day of judgment. Only God can save, but brothers and sisters, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And if we're not putting the words of Christ before our children, how can we expect them to come to faith? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, but how can they believe in him in whom they've never heard? And how will they hear unless somebody preaches? What will be said? This great gift comes with a great weight. To whom much is given, much is required. And think of what you've been given, parents. I am myself a parent of 6. I feel the weight. Are you telling them about Christ, all about Christ, the Christ who judges the wicked and pardons the guilty? Are you telling them about the Jesus who prays for his enemies on the cross and who pronounced woes and curses upon the Pharisees in their stubborn hearts? Is it enough that they be good, or do you desire them to be godly? Will they be moral or Christ-like? And again, each soul is accountable to God to believe on their own. But this great weight of presenting the truth before them. And then you think of these enemies. be alert, be on guard. The devil roams around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And here you have these precious children who are susceptible, who are fragile, who are impressionable. And there's a lion in the streets. There's a lion who has dragged millions to the pit of hell, deceived many. Think of the weight, the responsibility. They're looking to you. They don't know better, but you do. He wants to devour. Are you on guard? Are you alert? Are you watching? Think of this world that claws for the hearts of your child. They're telling your little girl, this is what you need to wear. This is what you need to look like. This is what beauty is. This is what it means to be something. And they are so convincing. You tell your little boy, this is what it means to be a man. This is what it means to be strong. This is what it means to make an accomplishment. And they are so convincing. And who stands in between this world and the devil and your child? It is you. It's me. Their own hearts will mislead them. The heart is deceitful. Who can know it? You think of the impact that parents have on their children. Fact of the matter is, even the most despicable parents, isn't it true that children still look up to them? A parent can be a failure in so many ways, and yet still their sons and their daughters want to prove something to them. They desire to be, am I enough? Have I impressed you? Have I made it? Proverbs 17:6 says, children are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. So amazing. And we feel this weight because no father, no mother is perfect. We have many problems. You know the problems you have as I know the ones that I do. And yet, all they have is you. You're their father. You're their mother. They need you. And all of their failures, who else do they have? If we cast off our children, who will they run to? There's this weight, this responsibility. There's a great need. Children are a great gift. Children come with a great weight, which presents us with a great need. You feel the weight, you feel it upon your shoulders. Their eyes are always watching. Children can watch hypocrisy. They can call out that which is not genuine. 1 Peter 2:12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. But have you ever thought about this verse in light of our children? The reality that we have Gentiles in our home, Christians, who are watching, and we are instructed to keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. Children don't know God, but you do. And they're watching you. They're watching. How do you treat God? How do you treat prayer? How do you treat the word? How do you treat money? How do you treat each other? How do you treat me? 10 Corinthians 8:21, for we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. Our children need to see a life that is lived out in reality. And you hear that, and I hear that, and you know that there are inconsistencies. We don't always live according to the truth that we know. We don't always walk in a manner that's worthy of the gospel, and yet their eyes don't turn away from watching. They see all. Philippians 2:14, 15, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Again, this instruction, this exhortation to be careful how you walk, because people are watching. And often we can think, yeah, my boss is watching, my neighbors are watching, the stranger at the store is watching, the people in the church are watching. But those who watch us most are children. Those who see us most are children. And here are the two options for Galatians 1:24. Romans 2:24 says, "For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." That's a horrible thing to have said. I blaspheme God because of you, Dad. I blaspheme God because of you, Mom, because I saw how you live before me. That's one option. But here's another. And here's the one that we all desire. Galatians 1:24, "And they glorified God because of me." Not blaspheming the Lord, but glorifying the Lord. Paul says, because of me. Because of the life that was lived. Because of how grace was treated. The word was treated. How repentance was treated. No, we're not perfect people. But when they see you fall, what? Is it excused? Is it brushed off? Children, I need grace like you need grace. I need Christ like you need Christ. Is the gospel the aroma in the house? Well, children are a great gift. Children come with a great weight. And because of that great weight, the parent feels the great need. And where do we run to in our great need? Last point, to our great God. Our great God. Our great God has grace for those who are in need. Now, if you don't have Christ, if you're not born again, no matter how much you desire to be a great example to your children, what Jesus said is true. They let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. How can those who do not see the way to life lead someone else there? The blind leading the blind will end up in a pit. So what you need is not tips on parenting. You need to come to the Father of lights and be born again. And God is merciful to save children of the devil and make them children of God, as it says in 1 John 3. The Christian, as a Christian parent, what do you need? You need grace. And our God is abundant in grace, and he will give it to you. Come to him. Call out to him. Look to him. Psalm 103:13, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." Your God will show compassion to you because he knows you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your failures. He knows the need. He knows the responsibility, and he knows what you have. And if you come to him empty, he will fill you. If you come to him broken, he will mend you. If you come to him saying, "Lord, I don't know," he will give you wisdom. Cry out to him. Look to Christ. Jesus is the example for us. He went to the cross, shed his blood. He died. Why? So that we might have new hearts, so that we might be able to live before God in a way, not with eye service. We were talking to our children the other day about this, not with eye service, because, oh, well, people are watching me and I need to make sure and I'm trying to impress you. No, from the heart to the Lord, because he is worthy. And if you live before him, your children will see it. They'll see the genuine reality of it. They'll see the love that you have for God, and that love will overflow into love for them. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Christian, God has given you a spirit. He has given you the gifts. He has given you his word. He has given you his people. He has given you his son. He has given you himself, everything that you need. every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place is yours, so that you can raise your children unto the Lord. That's good news. We are not without hope when we have a God who is great. And what is impossible with man is possible with God. So our brother and sister, they feel the weight. And they feel their need. But there is a God who supplies every one of our needs according to the riches of Christ Jesus. Last verse, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. His divine power, this is what you have helping. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. The power that you have to help you is divine power. And this power grows through the knowledge of him who called you to his own glory. Well, at this time, we'd like to pray. We'd like to do what those parents did when they brought their children to Jesus. So we ask for our brother and our sister to come.